Is anyone thirsty? Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah 55:1. We're going to be looking in John chapter 7 as we continue our journey through the book of John. I just want to remind you all of the physical requirements for survival regarding water. Now, 60% of the human body is water. When your mother told you, man, you must have a brain of mush, well, she wasn't too far off, because 70% of the brain is water, okay? 90% of the lungs are water, and 83% of our blood is water. So I do want to also look at the spiritual implications. There is no eternal life without the living water, and we want to talk about that. Spiritual life does require this living water, and as you go through the Old Testament, you'll find time and time again, this is just four examples, and I immediately, as I was researching things, I saw four additional ones, and I know if I'd have looked a little further, there would have been four more, but it's all through the Old Testament. Isaiah 55:1, all who are thirsty. Jeremiah 17:13, spring of living water. Joel 3:18, a fountain flowing from the Lord's house. And then Zechariah 14:8, living water flowing from Jerusalem. And then you have the talk and the embodiment and the realization of living water in Christ the Lord. And then at Pentecost, of course, living water from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Spiritual thirst can only be quenched in Christ Jesus. I think most of us realize that. That is absolutely the truth. Yes, we have this water that we drink here on the earth, and it satisfies us for a while. But we are destined for eternity, and we need something that will quench that thirst for eternity. And the only thing that will cause us to live eternally and not die eternally is the living water provided by our Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus replied to the woman at the well, and you might remember when we were back in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, he said, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And of course she responded, please give me this water. And the end result, she ended up going to her village and literally witnessing to the whole village. And it's the first time in the ministry of Christ we see literally a whole village come to believe in him. This was before the Jewish people responded. And who was it responding? Those they despised, the Samaritan people, the half-bloods, if you will. Then Jesus in John chapter 7, and we're going to look more closely at this, he states at the festival of tabernacles, or the feast of booths. It's called different things. Feast of shelters, festival of shelters, festival of the ingathering. It has many names. But it is the final festival that all Israelites were required to attend. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But while a very special ceremony is taking place, Jesus says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. This is John 7, verses 37 and 38. He is at the festival of booths, and I want to talk a little bit about that now. It is the final feast, as I mentioned, of the year. This required that all Israelites should attend. There were three festivals of that type. This is the final one. At the end of the year, it also celebrated the harvest, okay, the ingathering of the harvest. But in another way, it celebrates the harvest at the end of all those who would believe in Christ Jesus. In fact, there was another thing that they did, that there were 70 bulls that were sacrificed during this festival. 70, not because we think of seven, seven plays a role throughout the whole festival, but 70 because those were the nations of the world descended from Noah. So it has an ingathering of not just the Israelites, but of all people, the whole world. Thus, the 70 bulls sacrificed regarding the 70 nations of the world descended from Noah. So it is inclusive of the Gentiles as well. It is prophetic toward the day when there will be a huge festival and all will be included that love the Lord. In fact, in the prophecies of the Old Testament, when Christ is in the millennial reign, it states that all on the earth will celebrate this festival and they will be welcome to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the festival of shelters. But it has a lot of meanings. First off, it was a remembrance of the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they would live in temporary shelters. And especially before the Red Sea, they were living in this. They had not become nomadic people yet. They really didn't have tents. So they were building shelters of what was available. And it's interesting that God's intention was to fill all of the people's shelters with himself. God intended to indwell the shelters of his people, but something happened. Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law, and a pagan revelry started to take place in the camp. They told Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses. So you build us a God that we can worship for bringing us out of Egypt. And the golden calf was created. So God's intention to indwell all of the shelters of the Israelite people, it didn't come to fruition. Instead, God led them with a pillar of fire at night and this great cloud in the day. And then when they would encamp, the tabernacle was filled with God's Spirit. So God was still there in that shelter among his people, but he wasn't. There was a separation because of this horrible idolatrous sin of the golden calf that was built and they worshiped there. But when we look ahead, this festival of tabernacles is actually fulfilled. God today fills all shelters housing Christ's followers. God's Spirit indwells all believers today. Literally the culmination of the festival of booths. What the intention was. But it's not the full culmination because that will happen prophetically in the millennial kingdom. So there's a lot of prophecy associated with the Festival of Booths. And a lot of us probably aren't aware of that. In fact, I read a book not too long ago, very, very interesting, based on all the festivals of Israel. This is the one, the main one, yet to occur, because it points to Christ's return. God dwelling with man. And then, of course, the ultimate fulfillment after the millennial kingdom, when the new heaven and the new earth are established and the heavenly Jerusalem comes down and God dwells with man. Where is heaven? Heaven is where God is, and God has made his dwelling place with man. So that's the final one. One of those other verses, and this is actually from a dissertation on true worship. It's a chapter in the Bible, Isaiah 58. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Well, praise God. That's what I want to be. This was prophetic. This is for all believers in Christ Jesus. Only at this festival did these things take place, at this festival of booths. The final day, water was poured seven times as an offering over the altar while the Levites were out singing praises. It was a very joyous festival. Of all the festivals, it was the most joyous. And because it was the culmination, man being once again in the presence of God, God being able to be in the presence of man, that's what it was all about. But this final day, now each day of the festival, and it was 7 days long, and then there was an eighth day that was actually a separate festival, but every day there was a water offering, and this is the only festival in which this took place. There was a water offering that was poured, and it was poured in a special device. I mean, it was a container, obviously, but it went down then around the altar. And then they would also pour wine, and they would also pour oil. But this is the only time water is used, and it was only at this festival. So every day they do one offering. But on the culmination day, the final day of the festival, they do it seven times. Seven times meaning completeness. God is holy. God is completely complete. And everything will be completed. So this took place on the seventh day of the festival. This is when Christ then presents himself. This is going on. Jesus declares, while this is happening, John chapter 7, 37 through 38, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Picture this. It's the culmination. It's that day. It's the most joyous day of the feast. It's when they're going to pour water seven times. And Christ is out there while they're doing this. And he says, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Christ is saying, I am the fulfillment. If you want to know God the Father, if you want to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's through me that that is a possibility. Now, of course, Christ knew that the Holy Spirit had not yet come to all men. When he said living water, this is verse 39, he was speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone who would believe in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Jesus living next door, or the Holy Spirit living in your heart? It's a good question. But the Spirit is present with you always. Jesus limited himself when he became a human being. But he could only be one place at one time. Now, he could see things. As we know, he healed people that were miles and miles away. But he did that through the power of the Holy Spirit because he lived life on earth as a total human being. Anything that Christ did is possible for us to do, at least theoretically, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Spirit isn't willing, it's just sometimes we don't have the faith, or we're not really where we should be in our relationship with the Lord. But it's much better to have the Spirit right within us, always present, always guiding, always directing, always strengthening, if we will avail ourselves of the Spirit of God. Well, the beauty of this is where it was once a year that this festival takes place, that's not the case for us. All who believe in Jesus Christ today are delivered not from Egypt, but from sin. God's Holy Spirit indwells this earthly shell. This shell is going to pass away. It was part of the sinful creation, all right? So this, and that's one reason it deteriorates. One day we will have a new heavenly body that won't be hampered by sin. It will be fully directed and in line with the Spirit of God and the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we have God's Spirit indwelling us all the time. Not once a year, not represented by once a year, not being one of the fortunate few in the Old Testament who experienced the infilling, but all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can be filled by His Spirit right now. Every moment of every day, we can avail ourselves of His Spirit. His living water strengthens and refreshes His children whenever needed. Well, praise His name. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. And this is a quote from Isaiah 49:8. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Even if you go back to the Battle of Jericho, remember there was one family that escaped. What family was that? It was the family of Rahab. Do you know that Rahab was the mother of Boaz? Isn't that cool? So anyway, Rahab had a child, Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. And you have then Rahab as the great-great-grandmother of King David. Isn't that neat? But Rahab wasn't an Israelite, was she? No. That was something else about this festival. Again, it was open. They wanted to open it up. It foretold the opening of God to all of God's children, not just the Israelite people, but people like Rahab. And He did it as He revealed Himself in the Old Testament as we go along. And now we have that full revelation in Christ Jesus. And to all men who call upon His name, they shall be saved. Well, praise God. Do you see how God laid all of this out? And even in His festivals, He was teaching His people, there's coming a day when the gospel, when the truth, when my salvation will be available to all people. In fact, I will pour out on my people my Spirit, all people, not just the Israelites, but people like Rahab. Rahab had an unusual, it was a very old profession initially. She was a prostitute. That didn't stop her from receiving God's blessing. She protected those spies. She changed her allegiance. She wanted to be aligned with the God of all creation. And He accepted her, and He blessed her. She's in the lineage of Christ Jesus, not just King David. Today is the day of salvation. This great salvation is available to you just as it was available to Rahab. Results of the living water. Jesus replied back at the well again to the Samaritan woman, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And you know what? Did Christ say that He was going to charge her anything for that water? No. No purchase required. You know, in our very capitalistic society, everything costs. Most of the time. This gift I'm talking about is free. It's absolutely free to anybody who is willing to receive it. If you recognize that, yeah, I've been living a life that has not been in accordance with God's word, God's direction, I know that I'm a sinner. I think most everybody, even in our culture today, would say, yeah, I know I don't do things totally right. Well, if it's not completely totally right, then you're not going to heaven. That's what the law does. It makes us guilty. And none of us can keep the law completely. We can't do it. So God provided a provision, and that was himself in his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus came, took on human flesh, became totally human, totally God, but totally human, and died for us. The reason no purchase is required is because Christ paid the price. He was perfect, and yet he died the most horrible death man could come up with, and that was to die a death of crucifixion. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Some people might think, hey, I do pretty good. I really do pretty well. Well, got bad news for anybody that might think that it's not good enough, because it's got to be perfect. You know, do you think that you lived a better life than who's the gal that spent all her time in Calcutta, Mother Teresa? She lived a pretty good life. She did a lot of what God wanted done. Mother Teresa could not get there by her works. Billy Graham, we all have heard of Billy Graham. He's lived a pretty good life. He can't get there because of his works. Salvation's not a reward. It's not a reward for the good things that we do because we are sinners. By definition, we fall short of God's requirement for us to be part of his family. Period. That's how it is. We must acknowledge that we are sinners. And then we can ask and appropriate this great salvation God the Father has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. It will be administered to us by his Holy Spirit. The full Godhead is involved. Here's that verse again. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. It's free. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. It's God's gift. It's God's gift through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But you can have that eternal living water living in you because Christ, because of his sacrifice, will tell the Father, once you accept him, I know this one. And the Holy Spirit will come and indwell in you and give you power to live this life. You say, well, I cannot live like the Bible says. You know what? I know I can't either. Only way it's possible is through the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9, if we do mess up, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's something to celebrate.